This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Michael Yon, michael.yon, and then you find him at locals.com. You can also find him on Twitter, michael_yon. Michael is very carefully compiling the story so far of the enormous surge towards the American border from all over the world, coming through the Darien Gap across Central America into Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, or California. Michael now is in California, and he tells me he spent the last few days looking at Jacumba, California, population 561, and San Diego, California, population several million, but in any event, a hotel there in San Diego. Michael, Jacumba, you tell me there are camps there. Who's in them now, or who was in them? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I'm at actually Los Angeles right now at the end of the airport and watching an American Airlines land. I guess they're not on strike. And so I've been out at the border quite a lot, as you know, over the last months and the last years. I was just down in San Diego and also Jacumba. And Jacumba, those camps, a border patrol was watching our work over in Arizona. And he said, hey, we got a bunch of people in these camps out in the desert in California by Jacumba. And he sent me some photos. And I said, wow, those photos look like camps that I've seen in Afghanistan and India. Cause you know, I spent 2 years in Afghanistan and another year in India and over in Bangladesh and whatnot. So I was used to seeing this sort of hut being made in hot areas, desert and that sort of thing. And so I said, can you go back out there and ask these people where they're from? So he went back out, the Border Patrol agent, and he said, yeah, they actually are from Afghanistan and India, like you said. And then there's some Colombians and some others that don't know how to make the huts like the Afghans and the Indians. And so there's a little there's a pecking order that's been established where these Colombians and others are paying the Afghans and Indians to help build their huts. And so asking a separate Border Patrol agent a few days ago out in the desert, you know, why are these camps even here? It's kind of like random out in the desert. You know, it's by the wall, not far from the wall, like 500 meters, let's say. And you know, there's three different camps. And he said, well, would it overflow? I mean, when we don't have enough room in the hotels and enough room in the other camps, then they're just literally staying in the desert. I said, wow, that's amazing. I mean, so the only reason we even found these camps, because these are very difficult to find, was because Border Patrol, they're upset. Many of the Border Patrol are incredibly upset. So, you know, Border Patrol gave us the coordinates to these things, you know, and so it helped us figure out literally how they were hard to find, even with coordinates. It was like, how do we get back here? You know? And, but we finally got to them. One of the camps with 600 to 800 people was empty now. And we went out to that camp about four times or five times. Cause we spent hours and hours out in these camps looking, even though the people are gone, we were checking out the things they left behind, like Turkish cigarettes and things like that, where they, you know, what is very interesting information that can be useful. And so they were gone because there was enough room for them in the camps apparently. And that's it. So they're vanished, but the camps are still out there, but these are not camps like with tents. These are literally like the survival type huts that you would be taught in the army, you know, how to make, or the kinds I see, you know, Afghans making. Basically shepherds often make tents like this. I've seen Bedouins make them like this as well, like in places like Iraq. They'll just come out there with their machete or whatever and chop down bushes, and they're really good at this. And they can actually be quite cool in the heat of the day, even though it's, you know, really hot out there, but because they'll put water on them. They'll put water on these branches and whatnot, and it's like a sort of like an air conditioner. They call it an air cooler in India.
Michael, where'd the people go? Are they in the hotels in San Diego and other places in California? Is that where they moved them?
We don't know. We asked. In fact, I asked several Border Patrol, where did they go? And all of them were like, I don't know, actually. You know, they're like, you know, it's interesting because there are different organizations doing different things. And I actually think that they honestly don't know. And honestly, just were not inquisitive enough to ask, because this is just another day at the job for them. Because I didn't feel like they were being deceptive when they said, I don't know. I think they were just like, I don't know. You know, I'm just out here tire dragging. You know, tire dragging, by the way, is they'll tie tires behind their trucks, and they drag the tires along the dirt areas, like the dirt roads. That way you can, it erases all the tracks. That way it's like erasing a chalkboard or an etch-a-sketch. So you can, it's a tracking technique. It's been used for, you know, centuries, but recently with cars and tires, but you can basically, you drag the trail so that you can see when people came through with fresh tracks. It's very effective. So they're just out there doing the tire drags, tracking down the new ones that come in and that sort of thing. And actually to that point, John, when I talk with Border Patrol, which I do constantly, I've asked so many, have you heard of Darien Gap? And I would say maybe 1 out of 10 have even vaguely heard of it, right? And it's very uncommon for one to say, oh yeah, that's down by Colombia and Panama. That's really like once a month. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen much. And so they don't, what I'm getting to is a lot of the Border Patrol, the ones who really are tracking, they'll have a lot of detailed knowledge about why the people are coming to South America and that sort of thing. But most of the Border Patrol, their knowledge of what's going on is like eggshell deep. They don't know what's happening outside the eggshell, which is the border wall, or even inside the eggshell. You know what I mean? They're just like, my job is to intercept at the border. That's it. You know, it's like the TSA at the airport. They don't know where you came from or where you're going to. My job is to get you through this security place. And that's the way it is basically on the border. The Border Patrol just don't really know where they're going to or where they're coming from. Some of the Border Patrol are clearly tracking. This is really problematic for the United States. And actually quite a few of them are tracking on that. I would say most are tracking on that, but it doesn't mean they're tracking on detailed knowledge about exactly what's going on. They don't know where they're coming from. Like when down at Yuma, where the people from at least 140 countries come around from, they call it the Yuma Gap instead of the Darien Gap. They call it the Yuma Gap. It's where the wall ends. But when I asked the Border Patrol people down there, like, where do these people come from? You know, like 140, or another Border Patrol guy here said 160 people from 160 countries come around this Yuma Gap. Where are they coming from and how do they get there? I mean, they just didn't spontaneously, you know, generate across, you know, 100 meters from the wall and suddenly come across here. We got Chinese and Somalis and Yemenis and, you know, it's like Star Wars Cafe here. And they're like, I don't know. They show up here, you know, and here they are, Venezuelans, you know. And so what I'm getting to, again, to nail on the point, maybe too much here, is that they just don't know. They're not even paying attention.
The hotel in San Diego, you tell me that it's filled with migrants. Were you able to go inside and talk to the migrants at the hotel?
No, they're aggressive. Not the migrants, but the not the aliens, but the people guarding it are pretty aggressive. And they don't, there's, for instance, that's in San Diego, but a similar situation over in El Paso, like this camp at Northeast El Paso where they're building it. I mean, they ran us off like forcefully. Like, you know, you thought it looked like it was going to go to fisticuffs. I mean, not from us. I mean, we're like, let's get out of here, you know, but they're actually chasing us and that sort of thing. It's pretty crazy. I mean, they are really in the cover up mode to, like, over the top, even though some of these camps are hidden, like those three that I just talked about. And then there's others that are right along the highway, like Crown Plaza in San Diego. I had somebody calculate that. I said, here it is. Here's the address. Here's a photo of it. How many people could they stuff in there and stay within the law? And, you know, so he calculated all the rooms and calculated the space for the conference centers and that sort of thing. It was just under 2,000 if you were going to stay within the law. And I wouldn't doubt if there was 2,000, because we got a hotel that was very close to it. And so we were watching it, you know, hours on end at different times, and the buses were just steadily coming and going. I mean, it was a beehive of activity. They put a fence around Crown Plaza now, and it's got that, you know, the screen where you can't see through the fence. They put that up, and they've got numerous guards. I'd say 4 to 5 guards at the front gate there. Yeah, it's pretty serious security behind. It's a golf course.
Who are the guards? Are these contractors? And do we know who they're working for?
They don't look like government. I don't actually know who they're working for, because we haven't had time to dig down in every little detail. In fact, I've been talking with people about, we need a sort of, you know how we assemble our impromptu task forces behind the scenes. We need a special task force that does nothing but look at what are these ecosystems behind these camps. For instance, today I was talking with Matt Bracken, a former Navy SEAL I took down to the Darien Gap, and some others, about asking people to hive, you know, to use our beehive effect and crowdsource and and all around the country, go to these hotels, whatever city you're in, Kansas City, New York, you know, Miami, wherever. Find these hotels, find these camps, follow the buses, and put pins in it, right? And tell us so that we can all do our hive networking here and figure this thing out, because this thing is huge. It's very big. And what we've seen is everywhere we go, we're seeing like hotels filled with people, you know, that sort of thing. And so if we're seeing that, and we're not even looking for them sometimes. Antonio Anguero found that Crown Plaza hotel. He just happened to be driving by, and he saw a bus go in, and he saw the green screen up around a fence. He said, whoa, you know, he's got a good eye for that stuff.
What goes on inside the hotel? What is happening to the people? They feed them. Can they leave the hotel? Are they prisoners? Do we know what happens once you're inside?
We watched for quite a while. We didn't see anybody leaving. This is what we think is happening. I want to make that a strong think. We do not know. This is what we think is happening. What we think is happening in some of these hotels, not necessarily all, but in some down by the border, is they're bringing people in and they're in processing them, and they're sending them to other parts of the country, and others they're sending back to Mexico so that they have to. Here's an example. While Antonio was there at the Crown Plaza in San Diego, and he got this on video, and somebody actually tried to run him over with a car, which he got on video. There was a man who came while Antonio Aguero was running his video, and he looked like he was Indian. And I say that because I spent a year in India, and it was the body language and that sort of thing. And Antonio was making video. He's like, why are you making a video of me? And that sort of thing. But so anyway, the man goes into the encampment at the Crown Plaza Hotel. And Antonio lifts his camera up over the fence, and he sees the man loading up a family into a car, right? Or car or a van. I think it's a van. I have to look at the video again. And then as he starts to leave with this family, he guns it and almost hit Antonio Aguero. It's on his Twitter, actually, at AgueroForTexas.com. And so it barely missed Antonio. And so this is the sort of thing that that vehicle with that apparent family left and was free to go off into America somewhere, right? Whereas we think others may be being sent back across the border where they have to do the CB1 app, and then they will come back into the United States. We know this is happening to some level, like a lot of the people that are being sent. You know, you see these statistics that are much lower now with illegal crossings, right? Well, what they're doing is they're making those crossings legal. They take them back into Mexico and make the aliens come back into the United States after filling out some paperwork. So that way they're saying, yeah, illegal crossings are down dramatically. It's only like 10,000 a day now, you know, literally something like that. Well, nobody knows how many it is. Nobody, no, not Border Patrol, not us. What we do know, going up and down the border, all the way from the edge over here in San Diego, all the way to down, you know, at SpaceX in Texas, I've been all across the border, the entire border, coast to coast, Pacific to Caribbean, right? What we do know is that most of the people that come to the border get away without getting caught. Most of them are getaways. They're called getaways or our gotaways, right? And so you saw a lot of the news recently on, what was it, May 12th or so, where Texas Governor Abbott was down at the border and he's talking about, you know, hey, look, the National Guard is stringing up concertina and whatnot. That's just all show. It's just all kayfabe. It's not the reality of what's going on. For instance, if you go to the New Mexico border, where we had numerous encounters with cartels and Border Patrol and National Guard. There's for every 100 meters, there's multiple holes in the fence. I'm going to publish a video probably later tonight that I made down there at that border on the New Mexico side. Very dangerous, and there's just holes in it everywhere. And most of the people who come across are getting away right in front of us. Like, there's just not enough Border Patrol. Period. I mean, and the fence is like, it's not the big giant Trump border wall that's very difficult to. You're not going to go up to the Trump border wall and, like, you know, take some easy tools and stretch it apart and get through there. But this Bush border wall and the Obama border walls at different places, those are easy. That's like nothing. That's just, you know, it's basically like opening the curtains. You know what I mean?
Let's go,
the Trump border.
Let's go to Panama, Michael. We've spent time now on the American border. Let's go to Panama because you've sent a video of a colleague of, made by a colleague of yours that says something different is happening on the border right now than in 21 when you were there, than in 22 when you were there, even in 23 when you were there before you moved to the Texas border. Michael Yan, Michael underline Yan is his Twitter address. And you can find links to all of his videos and reports. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.